believing into that now, that I can have everything that God has promised me now, you know, and I don't have to wait until we get to heaven, but we can live heaven on earth, you know. And so that to me has really helped me see there's abundance out there. God has abundance for everyone.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth in Christ Show, a show where we inspire the masses to become financially free while building God's kingdom. On the show today, we have a wonderful couple, Mr. Murphy and Melissa Stewart, a couple who paid off $229,000 in debt and 100% debt-free, and they are dedicated to helping others achieve financial freedom through their fitness and financial coaching business, Fit and Fun. In this episode, we'll discuss their journeys becoming debt-free and strategies for others to achieve the same. So thank you for being here, Melissa and Murphy.
Pleasure.
Yeah,
pleasure
thank to be you for here. Having us.
Thank you so much, Tommy.
Not a problem. How are you guys doing today?
Good. We're a little tired. We're used to chasing around a 14-month-old. So
yeah.
He's down for a nap right now. But
it's been busy over here, for sure.
Yeah.
I can only imagine. Just to get started the conversation, I want to ask, you know, what inspired you guys to start taking on this debt that you guys had of $229,000 of debt? Like, what inspired you guys to get started in that journey?
Yeah, I think one thing to kind of back up a little bit is we were at a crossroads in our marriage. I think we were always, we wanted something different, but we just didn't know what pathway that was or what that even looked like. And I think we were at a point of despair in our marriage and hitting a rock bottom within our marriage and not really knowing how to even climb out of that mess that we were in. You know, we definitely knew it was financially. The debt contributed to a lot of different elements of negativity and toxicity within our marriage. And, you know, it came to a point that we had to look at each other and say, okay, what's next? And I think for me, I got to a point of rock bottom when I was sitting in a lobby to waiting to see my counselor. And I think God really showed me that what our lives could be if we just took a chance and truly had faith in Him. And He, you know, He intercepted that mindset I was in, and, you know, gave me a name that I never heard of. I think we all heard of Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey really was something I didn't even know who he was, but God put that in my heart, in my spirit, to kind of research him and go forward on the principles in which he taught millions of people. But yeah, that was the beginning of everything, and I had to bring it back to Melissa, and then that was another challenge, I guess you can say. But we came to a position to really agree upon what our lives really wanted to look like in 5 to 10 years. And I'll let my wife kind of explain what happened when I actually brought it home.
Yeah, so I was really not on board at first. I was like, wait, what is this whole budgeting thing? What are we going to do? And I had just got a new job. So I, you know, I was a spender, and I really wanted to just go buy a whole new wardrobe and, you know, just keep accumulating the debt. I had a lot of denial around the financial situation that we were in. So it took me a while to understand what we were doing, and then, you know, how much money we had to pay off. But once Murph and I kind of got together as a couple, and we came up with a shared vision and a why we were doing what we were going to do, pay off the debt, I started to gain motivation and start seeing the bigger picture. And so I was like, okay, I can do this. You know, I can continue to do this, because what would our life look like debt-free, 100% debt-free? What would our life look like when we start having kids and they're not going to have debt, or, you know, suffer the consequences of our financial mistakes, that's all behind us. And so I really started to get excited about it. And then also seeing the debt being paid off one by one gave me that extra push of excitement and motivation to keep going and keep paying off the next one and the next one and the next one.
Exactly.
So
now that's really good. And I want to ask, you know, just take it like, take you guys back memory lane. What was you guys' relationship with money, or how would you guys raise on money for you to, like, you know, say, Murphy, okay, I want to get into this plan of paying up debt. And for you, Melissa, to agree to want to be on this journey with Murphy.
Yeah, Dame, go ahead. I'll let my wife speak.
Oh, yeah, no, it's a good question.
That's a really good question. Yeah.
We have a similar background in that area, but money growing up was always a very stressful topic. It was, you know, when my parents would sit down to do the budget, it was always chaotic and, you know, just because there wasn't enough. And so it was always, I always remember having a lot of anxiety and fear of not having enough around money. And, you know, my parents did the best that they could with what they had. You know, I was one of five kids. So, you know, it's expensive to raise children and they really did the best they could. But I just kind of grew up around that mentality of never having enough. I can't afford that. Just that lack and that poverty mentality. So for me, it took a lot. I mean, it's still that residue still kind of breaking off of me of that poverty mentality, of that fear of not having enough, just from childhood.
Yeah, I can definitely share, you know, my wife articulated that so well. And like she said before, there's a lot of similar commonalities there that I came up with, you know, growing up in a single family home. My mom was the single provider. My dad was not in picture as much. And growing up, you know, we were, you know, money was definitely scarce. You know, I think we were always in survival mode, trying to figure out what's next, how do we get food on the table, you know, all this stuff. And welfare was a huge component of that. You know, I'm not ashamed to say that, because it's, you know, that was my roots and that's where I came from. But I think just allowing myself to understand that, you know, people go through those situations, but it didn't have to end there. There's also little did I know that there was knowledge out there and opportunities that allow me to get myself out of that mentality, which honestly we did that, you know, years later. But yeah, growing up was one of those situations where I didn't, you know, being a young pup as I was, I didn't know what was, you know, I didn't know which was which. I thought it was normal. I didn't think that other people were living a better life than I was. I was just kind of doing what I needed to do to work hard at an early age to support my mom, because the father figure was not in the household. But yeah, it was an interesting time. As hindsight now, I knew the struggle was real. So,
I thank you guys for sharing that, because, you know, it kind of leads me to my next question. And you know, Melissa, you brought up in terms of mindset, you know, having this sacred mindset. You also mentioned it too, Murphy. You know, how can people, you know, go from that mindset, a sacrity mindset, you know, not thinking there's money out there for them to make, they can't get out this debt situation, to not believing there's abundant, that, you know, they can get out, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. How can they go from that? You know, what are some things you guys did, you know, to get through that?
Yeah, I will start with saying, you know, God had a huge hand in it. You know, when we first got married, you know, I wasn't truly a believer just yet. You know, I grew up in church, but straight away before I met her, but coming into her, you know, coming and meeting her and starting a relationship that I had with Melissa, I started to believe and see God in that relationship. And she was definitely a huge proponent in me doing that. And, you know, I think to answer your question, I think I had to really submit myself to what God truly had for my life, because, you know, seeing my mom and my father struggle financially over the years and, you know, where they are today, I didn't want to get to that in that position. I didn't want to have that for my children. I didn't want to have that for my marriage. I wanted to have a thriving marriage that we strive and interdependently towards the goal of not only getting closer to God, of course, but also have a strong unit household. But yeah, I just really had to kind of dive deep and to have a discussion, mutually discussion with my wife, to make sure that we were all on board. But a lot of prayer, a lot of reading, and a lot of counseling. We did a lot of that to kind of understand, okay, where you wanted to go and what 5 years looked like. And, you know, we're definitely living that today. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, I think it was really changing my mindset, rethinking and retraining. I mean, I'm still doing that every single day with my thoughts, but, you know, that I do have enough, that I do have more than enough, you know, goodness and mercy chases me down. And it's just like, the blessing of God is for here and now. It's not just for when we get to heaven. So like, that to me is like, I really believe, I'm believing into that now, that I can have everything that God has promised me now, you know, and I don't have to wait until we get to heaven, but we can live heaven on earth, you know? And so that to me has really helped me see there's abundance out there. God has abundance for everyone. And, you know, of course, Murph always tells me about the scripture talking about, like, not taking care of your own household is worse than an unbeliever. So we really had to take care of our own household, our own temple, clean it up, you know, get rid of the debt and really change our ways of, you know, how we viewed money, but also like our behavior around money. And, you know, there was a time there that we just had to completely retrain our habits, and we cut up our credit cards for a period of time because we had abused them so much and it caused us so much damage in our lives that we had to just cut it off completely for a while. And now it's, we're able to manage that and pay that off quickly, but it's just retraining your thoughts and how you think constantly on a daily basis around money specifically.
That's very important. You know, I feel like it's important for people to understand that, you know, there's better out there. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. You know, just doing some research, you guys, I know that you guys started attending church and, you know, learning about financial stewardship. I know you brought up David Ramsey. Like, how did that journey of, you know, get introduced to David Ramsey and being in fact, he's very big on what the Bible says, you know, in terms of finance, like how did that journey go for you guys?
Yeah. It was rigorous. It was not fun. I'm going to be real. It was not fun. Looking back, man, it's, you know, when you're in something and when you're truly wanting something to change in your life, you almost will do anything, anything that's legal, right? For sure, to get yourself out of debt. But I truly, you know, God really truly gave us a vision that, man, we can experience the life that the way that God intends it for all of us. To have to experience life, and that's debt free, and just saying that word debt freedom, you know, it meant so much to us because we knew how much more of a life that we could live and how to get back to God's kingdom if our finances were more, it was open and more free and not just going to lenders, right? And we weren't hindered by that anymore once we get to that point. But yeah, it was a rigorous road, but it was something that I am glad we did younger. I think, you know, started in our early 30s, and it was just pretty incredible to know that. I'm glad, you know, we always can say, I wish we did it earlier, but honestly, I'm glad we did it the time we did, because mm-hmm. It really, you know, we were mature enough and we weren't 60 or 70 starting from where we did early 30s. Not saying that that's super old, but it was one of those things that you got to understand. When you have a vision and you want to pursue that, make sure you stick to that and make sure you have a guided path and plan in order for you to stick to it. So.
Yeah. And, you know, Murph brought the plan up, Dave Ramsey plan. And I was like, wow, that seems really, you know, strict, but mm-hmm. It worked. I mean, we did it. It was just the two of us. We didn't have kids, and this was pre-COVID. So, you know, we did steps 1, 2, and 3. And we followed it to a T. You know, we did the zero-based budgeting, and we still do the zero-based budgeting. You know, and it worked for us. I mean, it was a long 5 years, like Murph said, and we really had to, you know, put our head in the ground and just go for it and try to earn as much extra money as we could. I mean, we didn't have any inheritance or anybody really helping us out, but, you know, God somehow made a way. And, you know, when we'd give, like, there would be so much more in return. We'd find like a refund check in the mail, or like, you know, some kind of rebate or some kind of discount, or, you know, it was just like, for whatever reason, we had way more than enough. So.
And I'm glad you guys went through that, you know, able to say that looking back, you know, hindsight is 2020, like people like to say that you guys did a great job. And, you know, I want to ask, you know, what were some of the biggest sacrifices you had to make doing this journey to become debt-free? Like, did you guys have to make any sacrifice, cut back on certain activities? To make this possible?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones for us is we decided not to take any big, large vacations. And so, you know, 5 summers, I think I was working crazy hours, 10-hour days with commute and, you know, seeing all my friends go on vacation and just wanting that time away to, like, take a vacation on, you know, some Maui or something like that. You know, we didn't do that. So we sacrificed that. We sacrificed, you know, going out to eat a lot, and we sacrificed, we didn't buy a house. We waited to have kids. So, I mean, there was, I mean, I'm sure you can think of a lot more sacrifices.
Yeah. But I think one thing to add on to that was we had two cars at the time and we actually went down in one car. You know, that was a very difficult decision too. Because we both worked and it sounded like we worked next door at each other. So it was one of those things we had to kind of schedule and plan that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, we, you know, along, you know, I wanted to kind of go back to what my wife was saying about the vacations. We did not do any of that. And five summers, man. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't know what FOMO means, man, we had FOMO.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out was every summer. And that was, it was the first year or two, it hurt a lot because we went online. Social media was so prevalent. You know, at the stage of how prevalent it was, you see everything and people smiling, taking selfies. That was hard. But after a third or fourth year, it got easier. So, yeah.
That's interesting because I have two questions, I guess. I'll ask this one question first. How are you guys able to, you know, stay focused on a goal? You know, you mentioned FOMO and not get caught up because it's easy to see everyone around you doing the opposite of what you're doing and you get tempted like, dang, I don't know if I should do this. So how did you guys remain focused? Or what are some strategies that people can utilize to stay focused during that journey, that free journey?
Yeah, some practical ways we created a vision board. So we'd look at that thing every single morning and at the part of it was the amount we needed to pay off each month to finish by the month and year that we wanted to finish. And then below it was like three things that we wanted, and it was vacation, moving to a 2-bedroom apartment, and I think it was having a baby. Mm-hmm. So it was like three things. And so we would just like, you know, focus on that of, you know, of course it was still not easy to say no, but I think that was, you know, helpful to kind of stay on track. And then also we did, once we would pay off like a loan or a credit card, we'd plan like a celebration dinner. So it was like looking forward to that, you know, something to look forward to when we finished paying off one debt, we were able to go out to mm-hmm. a nice dinner and celebrate, and that kind of helped us continue on too. So it wasn't like we just sat home and ate beans and rice for 5 years.
Definitely not. Yeah. And just to, you know, once again, add onto what my wife was saying, she said it perfectly. We had a vision board, and, you know, I think in the Bible, or I think I believe it's in the Bible mm-hmm. about how, you know, write it down and make it plain. And that's something that you have to write it down, your goals and what that looks like. Even if it's you dreaming, I just write it down and say, okay, what do I want to do in the next 5 years? And if you stick with our goal, and every day, like the visual thing really helped us. Because, and especially my wife, I think, you know, at one point she didn't want to see the number. She didn't even want to meet. She didn't want to meet. She didn't want to know the number at all. But for me, the logical thinker I am, I knew that was the kind of turning point, the pivotal point in our journey, that if you saw that number every single day, it was going to push us towards that. And it did. It worked. So
that's good. And I'm glad that you guys mentioned that you guys celebrated, you know, after you guys each milestone. Because, you know, oftentimes, you know, even with David Ramsey, I know he's very strict on when you're focused on debt, like you cut out a lot of activities. And one thing, I guess, I would say that's kind of like an issue with it is that, you know, when you talk about mental health, you know, and all these different things, that it's hard to cut out every single thing that brings some type of joy and just trying to focus on giving up debt. So I'm glad that you guys did that. But that was my second question. Like, how did you guys manage that? But being that said, you know, I want to ask, you know, what are some strategies and techniques, you know, you guys use to pay down this debt? I know you guys just found a day of ransom, but if you guys can specify, you know, what's some side hustles you guys took on, you guys can elaborate on that.
Oh, yeah. Side hustle is my middle name, Dominic. Like, for real, for real. So Facebook Marketplace, sell things on there. What else? And not eBay. It was mostly for me, it was Facebook Marketplace. Sold some stuff on there. And also did, you know, what, Lyft, Uber, DoorDash a lot. And Uber Eats too. You know, we're living in a Bay Area. And if anyone knows the Bay Area, it's very expensive to live there. It's a lot of working professionals who are, you know, to be honest, they're pretty affluent. And I'm saying that for a reason. I drove these people from work and back home, and they gave a lot of tips. And I did it sometime till 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had a full-time job. Mm-hmm. My wife, she was upset sometimes, but then again, you know, we had some boundaries, parameters around that it worked out. But yeah, you know, those, items and what, you know, Facebook Marketplace and all the different gig economies, I took advantage because I knew that being in Bay Area, there was a lot of money to be made. And I was not afraid, and still not to this day, afraid of work. You know, that, you know, the best thing you can do when you're broke is to go to work. So that's something that we learned a lot. So, yeah, and my wife, she worked a lot of overtime.
Lot of overtime, you know, I take on extra projects or sometimes work on the weekends if, you know, there was any extra overtime available. But also, you know, there's just so many opportunities out there now, you know, to post on like a Facebook group where you can just like ask to do a little bit of babysitting on the side, or, you know, just stuff like that, where there's ways, even if you do have a full-time job, to make some extra cash on the side. And there's people looking, you know, we're looking for like a babysitter right now, you know? And so it doesn't have to be like a full-time nanny, but it can just be like a little side job, or, you know, go out and do Uber Eats, you know, Saturday nights, because I'm sure people want take home food, you know? So it's just, there's so many opportunities out there. And sometimes you don't even have to leave your house. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to go very far and you can earn extra money. So
that's really great. And, you know, one thing I want to ask, cause you know, it's Murphy keeps bringing up like the conversation that you guys are having when it comes to either doing an Uber Eats, just him introducing, you know, the David Ramsey plan. And the fact that I know a lot of 50% of marriages end up and divorce because of money. You know, what are some advice you would give to couples who are struggling with money issues in their marriage? You know, how would you ask them or suggest for them to start having a conversation? You know, what would be step one, step two, if you guys can provide any?
Yeah, I would just say start to dream together, you know. There's a really good show right now. I forgot the name of it. What is it called? Roommates.
Yeah, so it's called How to Get Rich from Ramit Sethi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just, it sparked a lot of conversation between us, but go watch that show and then just start talking about like, what does your rich life look like, or dream, you know, dream about what your life can look like. And I think for me, I was motivated by that because I was like, okay, we're not just here and now with, you know, six figures of debt and like so overwhelmed with, but it was like, what could our life look like in the future? And, you know, what does that kind of lifestyle feel like, look like, smell like? And so we started having conversation about it. And then that made me more open to sitting down and like doing a budget and, you know, trying to like work that out and be in agreement. And I mean, now it's a piece of cake. Like we don't have any issues talking about money, but I think that's what I would say is like a real practical way. It's just like, it doesn't even have to be about money. The first conversation that you have with your spouse or your partner is just like, go talk about like, what are you dreaming about? What do you want in life? What are you striving for? What's your goals? And that will kind of, obviously money is involved in that too. So.
Yeah. And what I would say too is when you guys are coming into a really important marriage, relationship that potentially is going to turn into marriage, make sure you guys are patient with yourself around money. And because, you know, me and Melissa, we brought in some baggage financially and other things, emotionally, spiritually, into the marriage. So make sure you're patient with each other, because you have to be. You know, if you cannot be successful financially, you know, any other facets of your lives, unless you are patient with each other, for sure. And just an understanding that, you know, when you guys go into a situation where, you know, you guys are both, you know, full of debt or what have you, just make sure you celebrate each other, because, you know, and understand that when you have a plan to even get out of debt or what have you, you have to really work together. I said earlier about being interdependent. My wife, you said it perfectly. You have to dream together. You have to be able to mutually agree to meet a goal, because, you know, we've heard and met with some people in our business, Fit and Funds, that try to do it separately. That, you know, unfortunately, that's a low probability rate that of succeeding, because, you know, you're in the same household, you may have kids. It's like, if you're in the same household and you actually are, you know, having kids together, why not, you know, merge your funds together and actually talk about it in a more, you know, more consistent way to allow you to finally have that GPS system that's pointing in your direction of, you know, attaining a goal, and that's financial freedom or what have you. So.
That's great. And I'm glad that you kind of mentioned that, because it kind of remind me of something like you guys both different backgrounds, if I'm not mistaken. You was raised in a single family, Murphy, and Melissa, you was raised in a family that has both parents. And just knowing statistics, you know, single family, like in terms of finance, don't do so well just because two incomes better than one. And I want you guys to talk a little bit, like, you know, how did you guys go about like having that conversation? Like, just understanding you guys come from two different backgrounds, you know, like, how did you guys go about having that conversation? Like, this is what I'm understanding, this is what I'm used to, you know, this is like, you talk about trauma, you know, how are you guys able to talk about those different traumas and understand you guys on the same team?
That's a really good question, Dame. I think the funny thing, I don't think we've ever, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think we've ever talked about, okay, well, I grew up this way and this is how I did money. I think it almost by default was almost by, you know, us believing each other initially and kind of letting us know we aired our laundry out before. I think when we were engaged, I think we just aired our laundry out about the debts and things about the credit cards and stuff. Cause it's funny, cause she was, I think she changed now, but I think she was a spender and I was a saver. And I approached her and just let her know all my debt. And I think it wasn't necessarily me saying, you know, this is the way that I was raised. It was more so like, this is what I have. I have this X amount of credit cards. And then she opened up to me. And then we literally just kind of, it was almost like a clean slate. We put all our laundry out. And then we said, okay, what are we going to do with it now? So
yeah. And our debt was, so, you know, I brought in over six figures of student loan debt. And, you know, we never looked at that as like Mel's debt or Murph's debt. You know, it was like, we work together as a team. But also kind of going back to like the childhood and some of the trauma that we've been through, I think through therapy and like working through that and healing through that, it kind of came out naturally, you know? But again, just like retraining and relearning and like, what do we want for our marriage and our family and our son? And what do we want his belief to be around money and how to view money? And so I think naturally,
yeah,
we've had many conversations about past family baggage and trauma, but
I like it. Naturally, it kind of by osmosis, we got to a point of understanding the different behaviors around how we spent or how we looked upon money. So
I guess my question, would you guys recommend people, you know, when they courting each other, getting to know each other, to seek counsel or therapy, you know, about the different trauma that they may have in regards to money? Because oftentimes people don't like to talk about what they bring into debt. You know, as parents might come with six figure debt, it's like, okay, well, like, I don't know, like, yeah, I don't know if you guys can add anything to that. Like, so people
can, you said it perfectly. I think money conversation is very taboo for sure, right? Especially if you're at a dinner, just taking a girl out, and then you're having a good time. Oh, by the way, how much debt do you have? How are you correctly? It's like, can you imagine that conversation? That never really happened with us. But I think, but for me to, I'm just going to sit here and say, if you see and love someone that you've been in a relationship for 3 to 12 months, and you said this thing can really actually transpire to something that's significant, marriage, you have to have a conversation. If that's just at home, you know, turning the TV off and literally looking at each other and say, let's talk about finances and just have a conversation. And you said something about, you know, I think you said counseling or therapy. I highly recommend that. And this therapy is necessary just for sick-minded people. It's for people who want to get better. It's for people who want to be redeemed. It's for people who actually want to strive. Because counseling, I thought, was always for people who were sick mentally. But no. It was people who actually had trauma and want to overcome those things and actually become a better person. So I would highly recommend therapy and talking about your financial behaviors and debt before committing to someone saying, I do.
Yeah, the sooner the better. I mean, looking back, I kind of wish we didn't wait until year 4 of our marriage to have that rock bottom moment. I mean, we probably accumulated more debt in those first 4 years of our marriage, but you know, it is what it is. You can't change it, can't control it now, but I think the sooner the better, the sooner that you can work through that and heal and recognize and start changing your behavior and mindset around it, the better. So
my next question is just, you know, just thinking about, you know, you guys waited to your fourth year, like, how do you guys fake, like, how's it changed from having that first conversation about depth, you know, until now, like, how has God, you know, been helping you guys, you know, attack this issue about depth and also help other people about that?
Yeah, I would say counseling 100% again. Counseling really has opened our eyes and our hearts specifically to really understand each other and really talk transparently with each other. You know, there's no thing that we keep from each other. We are so open. And I think that, you know, if you work and you want that relationship with God, you know, God will definitely challenge you. He'll push you to the point of actually you have having to do that. That's just what I would say about that. So,
yeah, I mean, I think our faith has grown tremendously. I mean, we're completely different people than who we were when we started this journey in 2014. I mean, it doesn't just change, you know, your finances, but your habits, your mindset, your relationships, who you hang around, your boundaries, who you are as a person and how you take care of your body. And just, there's just so much that goes into it because you learn discipline and you learn hard work and you learn just, you know, how to hang in there and not give up. And it's very similar things to how to have a healthy and thriving marriage is like, you know, you really have to just like keep on the path and continue to just put one foot in front of the other sometimes. And that's a lot like marriage because sometimes you just want to give up and throw in the towel and it's not easy, you know? But I definitely think that our relationship with God is so much better now than it was back then.
Yeah. Much better. Oh, it has. And I think an interesting fact that you guys have to know is that our very first budget meeting was 3+ hours, something like that. I don't know, something crazy. But guess what? Now it's like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So,
or less.
So I want to make sure I put that out there.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. And, you know, what are some resources that people could tap into to start their depth journey or to help them if they are currently on their depth-free journey?
Yeah, well, you look in them. That's one resource, right? You know, Fit and Fun. We have a website, www.fitandfund. That's spelled FITNSNANCYFUNDS.com. And of course, you know, look at Dave Ramsey stuff and look at Tony Robbins. There's so many different influencers out there that we legitimately think are valid.
It's free
stuff on the internet. But of course, some of that stuff can kind of get convoluted, right? So much information, so much content. You feel like, oh my God, like it's overwhelming. Start with one source and then just kind of do your research and actually go online and develop your own opinions about it and see, okay, well, this person, so, you know, they're a millionaire. I want to get there. How did take the steps back and do reverse engineering and how to get to that point and just follow that person and just really take notes and apply it and make sure you have an accountability partner. If you're not married, have an accountability partner because you need someone to walk through this. You can't. And I know God's all, you know, ultimately our accountability partner, but you need someone physically there who's going to actually help you and look at numbers and say, hey, you might want to cut that credit card up or you might want to sell that car and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some practical tools I'm thinking that are like free. If you need help with budgeting, there's multiple free templates out there. And also like Every Dollar, the app Every Dollar, or You Need a Budget. There might be fees associated with those, but just Google it. And there's just so much information, but a lot of things can help you. I heard the other day, it's like one of the number one questions that's Googled right now is like, how do I get out of debt or how do I pay down my debt or something like that? So yeah, there's definitely free resources out there. And especially if you don't want to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate you guys sharing that. And I'm glad you guys mentioned your financial coaching business. I want to ask, you know, what motivates you guys to want to start a business and mix finance and fitness together?
That, Dami, that is a $1 million question, right? My goodness, it's funny you asked that question. So get this. This is a short story, long story, but I'll keep it short. So we were in a life group, a Bible study group, I guess you can say. And we have friends who knew our journey. They knew we were about to embark upon a really rigorous journey about being paying our debt free. And, you know, we were making bounds, leaping bounds within our journey. And one of our friends who is still our friend today, she said, why don't you guys start coaching people? You know, and we thought about it, like, wait, what do you mean? Like coach people what? And she'll just, you know, building a budget and getting out of debt. Mm-hmm. So that kind of excited us. And that was the I guess what the inception of our where we are today, Fit and Fun. So that one little inclination of hope, or more so advice from a friend in Bible study, really kind of launched our mindset that knowing that we can kind of affect or more so impact hundreds of people, even thousands. So
yeah. And also, you know, I think we got online the fifth year of our 5-year journey, and we just started sharing our story, and we shared our debt payoff. We went live and shared our last payment. And so we started to like meet people online and build relationships, and then COVID hit. So we did a lot of like virtual training, and then we just kind of naturally carried on, and, you know, word of mouth or people we meet on social media will just ask us for help. And I feel like it's a way to share our message of hope, because we've been through the fire with finances. And so we're like, we can relate to people, and we can say, yeah, we've been there. We've been in that dark, hopeless place. Let us help you and walk you through it so that you can kind of get to the other side. And yeah. I think that's what keeps us going. I mean, that's why we'll just continue. It's our ministry. That's what we'll continue to do forever and ever. It's like our story, but also just our way of like sharing the message of hope too, you know?
Yeah. And you said something about how fitness and finance kind of married, right?
Yeah.
We are fitness enthusiasts. We worked out basically every minute of our wedding. I mean, our marriage.
Our wedding.
We did dance lobster. But yeah, we've always loved fitness. I think the idea of Fit and Fun was being fit in your finances, right? So that was the idea. And then we just came up with Fit and Fun. So it kind of, that's how we kind of glued that together. Just to answer your question earlier.
That's good. And it's funny that, you know, that you got your business is called Fitness and Finance. Fit and Fun, I apologize.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you're thinking about like different people's journey, I can think of, you know, when they going through this financial journey, when it's paying off debt, building a business, oftentimes people neglect their health in the process. And even me right now, speaking, I know how easy it is to just get caught up in the process of trying to pay off the credit card, trying to, you know, make more money. What are some practical ways that people can, you know, they don't get too caught up, but at the same time, take care of themselves? And why is it important to do that?
Yeah.
I would just say, you know, when COVID hit and the gym shut down, I learned to just get out there and start walking, you know, just move your body. It's a great mind cleanse. You can think, you can process, you can pray. And now I walk every day with our son. I mean, it's just a habit, and it's just, it feels so good to just move your body. So it's like, you know, if you're not into exercise or you don't want to weight lift or anything like that, just get out there and move your body. It's good. Good cardio, and it's good for your overall mental health too. So that's, and it's free, you know, you don't even have to spend money on walking around the block or.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that was one light item.
We kept
Dami and everyone else. We kept that. Like we looked at each other. So this one area that
other things too.
Yeah. But this was really important because we knew that we had to stay fit, because going to that gym or what have you, it was a spiritual cleanse, but I call it my sanctuary. Seriously, going to that gym, you're praying, like my wife said, you're just so clear-minded, and you're sweating, and endorphins are taking place. So it was amazing. So that's what we did.
Hey, family, I hope you're enjoying this episode so far. And if you are and you have yet to subscribe to us here on YouTube, please hit the subscribe button. And also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts and you have yet to leave us a 5-star review, please do so. Now back to the episode. That's impressive. And, you know, you mentioned budget. You know, the reason, like, you guys started this on the business conversation about your friend telling you guys you talk about your budget. Well, how would you guys tell people to go on budget, especially in this current economy? You know, interest rates are going up. People are searching up how to get rid of debt. All these different things, the debt ceiling, you know, like, all these different issues that people worry about. So how would you suggest you budget in this current economy?
I would say this, turn off your TV, y'all, just for a little bit, man. There's so much news out there. And, you know, I think one thing, we get caught up with so much going on in the world, right? And society is real. It's happening right now as we're speaking. You know, interest rates are insane right now. People are, you know, can't even get into a home because of the interest rates. But one thing I would advise you to do is this, control the controllables. And that's you sitting down and kind of looking at your budget, seeing how much you have debt, and kind of working that plan. We can so get overwhelmed by what's happening in the world, and then it affects us for sure, but not 100% of it is affecting us. We can only take care of our household. That's the only thing we can do. What's happening in the White House of DC, man, we have no control of that. We may vote. Oh, great. We can vote. That's cool. But what's happening within those four walls of your home is what you and a potential spouse is actually going to be manipulate and actually allow yourself to guide yourself to that point of reaching that goal. So that's what I would advise.
Yeah. And also, you know, as a believer, it's like we're surrounded by inflation and high interest rates, but like reminding ourselves that we're not operating on the world's economy. You know, we're operating on God's economy, and God's promising to take care of us and provide for us, and, you know, not allowing that fear to kind of take over us that we become paralyzed, you know. And, you know, budgeting is so crucial because it's pretty much just tracking everything you bring in and everything that goes out, you know, and it's just you're managing it. So it's not like it's meant to be restricted, or, you know, I have to get it perfect, or, you know, I messed up again. It's like, just write it down on paper if that's what you want to do, or put it in an app, and, you know, just be kind to yourself, but also have awareness. That's what it is like awareness of what you're spending, what's going in, what's going out. So
I appreciate that. And, you know, I want to go back to something Murphy said about accountability, because you say those who are not married, you know, should look for accountability. And my question is, you know, how should people go looking for accountability? Because just being the fact that money, having a conversation about money is a very taboo, it's hard, it's vulnerable, and you don't want to get mentored by the wrong person or take advice. Or has somebody holding you that's not going to hold you accountable?
Of course. Great question. I would say this. I know we can think of one person, even two people that you know is good with money, and you've seen them grow in their lives. So you can spot that person easily. I know you have either a family member or a close friend or someone you may not have spoken to for a few years. You know that individual. I'm not talking about people that you see online. I'm not talking about those people that you actually have a relationship with. Look at someone's life, vet them, and see, wow, they actually are doing things that I want to do. And once you actually identify that person, you want to knock on the door, text them, what have you, go take them out to coffee, buy them a coffee, and just really kind of let them know, say, I admire you. How? And just start asking those questions. How did you get here? Those are the people you want to actually make your mentor. And sometimes they will say no because they're just so busy. But I can almost guarantee that if you ask them humbly to assist you and mentor and even being an accountability partner, they're going to almost say yes almost every time. So that's what I would do. Don't just pick that person that, oh, here's my friend. Let's, you know, just buddy, you know, you go to the club, or you know that person is not the right person to be accountable for you. You do not ask that person. Ask someone who actually you see yourself wanting to be. So.
Okay. And, you know, I know we mentioned earlier about the sacrifice you guys had to make, but, you know, now being debt-free, you know, what are some benefits that you guys are enjoying being debt-free?
Well, vacations. I think the first year in 2019, we were able to take 2-3 vacations before the world shut down in 2020, early 2020. So that was pretty awesome. You know, we've been able to give a lot more, and we were able to buy a house. Like, you know, we've always lived in one bedroom apartments. So we moved out of the Bay Area. We saved, we put down our own down payment. We've furnished this place. We've done a lot of work here. You know, I was able to resign and quit my job after we had our son, and now I've been home with him. I mean, it's just, the list goes on. Murph went back to school. He finished his bachelor's degree with cash. So we were able to do Invisalign. I mean, we just did phase one of our backyard. I mean, everything has just been paid in cash. And so it's just, we really look back and we're like, really? Wow. Like, it's just amazing. Like, God is so good. You know,
I have nothing to add. She said everything. Those are all the highlights.
No, that's good. And one thing that stood out to me of the highlights that you mentioned is giving. Just looking at you guys' story, you guys are big givers. So why is it important to you guys to tithe and give back? And how has that influenced your financial journey?
Oh man, God, that's such a good question. So God is all over, his handprints, or should I say his fingerprints, are all over our lives. From the beginning, when I said I do, now he was there too, but he was so much more there when we actually said yes to this financial journey that we partook, years ago. I will say it's so important, and I have to say this. I don't think Melissa said this earlier, but we have a miracle book. And this is so pivotal. This is so instrumental. You guys have to understand something. We have a miracle book that's flooded with blessings and monetary blessings and all this stuff. It's like we wrote down every little element of if it was $1 or $5,000 that we were blessed with commissions over time, or someone handed us a check, what have you. It is so important and key to make sure you keep tithing. For us, you can do whatever you want to do, but for us, we knew when we were broke, we still tithed. When we thought things were just upside down, we still tithe. And till this day, we actually are tithing 15% of our income because, that was something that was that God shown in my wife's heart. And I was kind of like, I'm like, sure, okay. I wasn't immediately, okay, let's jump aboard. I'm like, 10% is cool. I'm like, what, really, babe? But once we increased that for 5%, God really opened a lot more doors. And I'm in a position now that I've never thought I was able to be in professionally speaking, in tech, software, and technology sales. I never thought in a million years I'd be able to get to the point. And there's some other things with Melissa that she's, experienced that God has opened doors. It's just like if you start tithing and really putting your faith in what God allows to happen, man, like he is going to open so many doors and give you so much that more that you cannot contain. And that's Malachi 3:10.
Yeah,
Yeah,
our
so.
son's name.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, literally after every refund check or everything that we received extra, we wrote down in the miracle book. And I really think that it did accelerate our debt payoff was because we chose to put God first in our finances. And so whatever we earned, it was always, off the top. Like this is just, we didn't get like religious about it. It's like God's not gonna like condemn us, but we were pretty, it was just a non-negotiable. No matter how little we had or how much we had, it was like always. And then since we've been debt free, we've been able to like give to different ministries and sponsor a child and just different things. I mean, actually we did that through our debt free
We did,
journey, but
yeah. So
so I
yeah.
mean we didn't give up everything in our debt free journey either, but we've always been givers, and
Yeah.
now that we're debt free, we can do more of that. So
Wow, that's amazing. I like the fact that you guys have a miracle book because it kind of like showed me that you guys through the journey, 5 year journey, you guys are still grateful for every miracle, it's easy oftentimes for people to get distracted about all the different things, this is not working right, this is out of my control. And it leads me to ask, because I want to ask this earlier, but I guess I can ask this now. People could probably looking at you guys, seeing that you guys killed off this debt, $229,000 debt. You guys were in it for 5 years. And they may have less debt or even more debt. What would you say to encourage a person to not give up, not toss in the towel? What would you guys say to such a person?
I would say first is comparison is a thief. I have to say that. That's one thing I've noticed, especially online. You see someone like us paying $229,000 in debt, and you have, $400,000. Oh, how could they do so? That's not for me, what have you. It's like everyone's financial journey is personal. My wife, she said that years ago, said every financial journey is personal. It's not. You don't need to compare yourself. You can get motivated and inspired and then aspire to do that. That's huge, but don't compare apples to apples or, oh, that person's, 35 and I'm 43. I can't do that. So that's when you start doing things and it starts hindering your process. You start making excuses. And excuses is one thing that will hinder you from almost anything. And we just highly recommend don't do that to yourself. Be influenced and be inspired by people's journeys because financial journeys and getting at it is personal and keep it that way. So.
Yeah, I mean the journey, just to be real, is lonely. It's exhausting. It's there's times where I've had many tears and, you know, many sleepless nights, but I think, you know, if you just surround yourself with a lot of like positivity and, you know, Murph was really big on listening to like financial podcasts. I didn't listen to those as much, but surrounding yourself with, even if it's not a large community of people, just, you know, maybe like an accountability partner, just someone to encourage you and keep you motivated along the journey, plan different things, celebrations for yourself, or take your out, you know, do something nice, go get a massage or get your hair done or your nails done, or just something that's like, you know, outside the, something to look forward to. And then also just reminding yourself of your vision. What is your life going to look like when you're done paying off debt? And I mean, I can sit here and promise you that it is worth it. So just keep going. I think one of our favorite scriptures was,
I want to say
Hebrews or Galatians.
Hebrews 11, 12 about discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Hebrews 11 and 12, and Dami, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's Hebrews 11 and 12. It says, no discipline is pleasurable at the time, but yields a harvest of righteousness for those who are trained by it. So that was our scripture, like the one. Discipline is not pleasurable at a time, but yields a harvest for those who are trained by it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's good. You know, I definitely want to say thank you guys for this interview, taking time out of your day. You know, I want to give you guys the opportunity to talk more about your coaching business for those who may be interested in, you know, what can they expect being part of your community and how can they get involved in your community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really good question. So we're on social media. We also have a website. If you go on social media, Instagram, I think Facebook too, you can book a free 30-minute call with us and we'll kind of just, you know, get to know your questions, making sure that, you know, it's a right fit and you're at that place in your life where you're willing to work with us, kind of get you going. So, and then, you know, from there we book hourly sessions together and we really just deep dive into your finances. We look at your numbers, we come up with a debt plan. We basically set up your budget. We go with you and you plug in all the numbers. So, I mean, we don't hold back. We really take a deep dive and then also, you know, available for questions and work with you throughout the time that, that we're not meeting. So, yeah, social media, our website, we meet with couples and singles and most of it, the last couple of years has all been virtually online. So, we've met with people in different states and, but yeah.
Yeah. No, I just want to add the our handle. Social media is completely universal. It's Fit and Funds, FITNFUNDS. Fit and Funds everywhere. So.
And where do you guys see yourself together as a couple, as a business owner, people in faith? You know, where do you guys see yourself in the next 5 to 10 years?
Man.
We were just talking about this the other night.
We were.
No, you're good.
Oh, well. It's funny because we may or may not have another kid. We don't know. We're still asking God to help us with that. But yeah, I think we want to, so we, 5 years. So let's say, okay, so close to paying our home off. That is key. Close to paying our home off and getting closer to becoming a millionaire. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, we're closer than we've ever been to becoming a millionaire today. And that is so great to even, you know, say out loud. But also just to, you know, we want to reach that mark that we actually are reaching more and more people with our story, ultimately, because we want to make sure they know that there is hope and being in debt, but actually there's hope in actually getting out of that. It's like we went through those storms and we came out alive. We're not dead. We're not angry. We're not up. We're happier than ever. We have more hope than ever. It's not perfect, but it's so much better than where we were before. So
yeah, I would just second what Murph said. And I think too, when you go through your financial journey and you kind of come to the other side of all that, I think the contentment is the contentment that I feel, I mean, it's not about the money to me anymore. It's like, I know that God will provide that. I know that that will come, but it's like, when you finally have that peace and contentment in your heart and your mind, and you're like, I don't have a desire to have this, you know, fancy car anymore. You know, not that fancy cars are, it's just something that I don't value as much anymore. I'm at peace and I'm content with what I have, you know? So it's like, just having that is like, money cannot buy that, you know? And it's just, of course, funding our retirement and all these extra things will happen. It's just, we have to, you know, work towards that. But yeah, so.
Wow. That, I definitely enjoy you guys' story. You know, for those who are listening and watching, hope you guys don't see another person, group of couples, you know, here talking about their stories, sharing their story. I hope this inspires you to go out there and do something, you know, take ownership of your financial journey. And you're looking for a group of Christians who are working toward becoming financially free, look no further and join the Pray Invest group on Facebook. And do you guys have any word of wisdom for anyone who may have listened to this interview, watched this interview? And what would your word of wisdom be to such a person?
I would say that little still small voice that's pushing you to get out of your comfort zone, that's God. That's the Holy Spirit, in my opinion. I think we all deserve to be where a lot of people want to be, and that's to reach a goal. You know, don't give up now. And where you are today is not the end of where you are going to be. Like, you, this is the start of your journey. This is where it all begins, but it only starts if you change this and this. So go ahead, you guys. I wish you guys luck, and it can be done. So,
yeah. And I would just say, don't give up, you know, hang in there and, you know, find a phrase or a scripture or something that you can just meditate on, and just, you know, play that over and over in your mind. And, you know, even if it's like a song or, you know, a vision that you see, a vision board, just don't give up. Like, just keep on. If you fall down, dust yourself off, get back up, start over tomorrow, you know, just continue on until you reach that financial goal that you want.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you again, Mr. Murphy and Melissa Stewart. For those who listen, I'll see you guys next week. Stay blessed, guys.